for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 4th, 1999. Dr. Bill Noe from Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
They fasted 3 days, and God sent them forth, and they arrived in Jerusalem with everybody safe and all the gold and silver. Even though it was a highly publicized fact that they were leaving with all this gold, yet not the fear of the Lord fell upon the brigands, and they did not go near them. Fast. Jehoshaphat, there was a great army coming against Israel that they couldn't defeat. So Jehoshaphat declared a solemn assembly and a fast, and they gathered all the people in the temple. And the prophecy came to one of the Levites, and he said, "The battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. Go out in the morning and send Judah first." And as they began to praise, God set the ambushmen so that the children of Ammon and the children of Mount Seir began to fight among themselves. And they killed each other. And then the Edomites began to fight them. And they all killed each other. By the time they got there, they looked out over it, man, and it was just one huge valley of dead folks that had come against them. They went there. It took them 3 days to spoil the dead, to take all the booty off the dead and carry it back to Jerusalem. What'd they do? They fasted and shook and humbled themselves before God. And so you need to humble yourself. Did you know that John Wesley would not appoint a minister unless he agreed to fast 3 days a week? He would not ordain a Methodist minister. These were circuit riders who got up early in the morning, rode 25 miles, and preached 4 or 5 sermons a day. And he wouldn't, unless they agreed to fast breakfast and lunch 3 days a week and just eat supper. By 3 days a week, they rode on an empty stomach. He wouldn't ordain them unless they agreed to fast. To him, it was so important. I tell you, all of you should have a regular day of fasting. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast, anoint your face with oil and go forth and fast in secret. And I'll see you in secret and I'll reward you openly. That's in Matthew 6. Praise the Lord. So you need to fast. Now you can you can be a servant. John 13, 12 to 17 is when he washed the apostles' feet. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 21. That's so much I want to cover today, and I don't know how I'm going to get it all covered. 1 Peter 2, 21 says, "For this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." You notice you have been healed. Isaiah says you are healed. Peter says you were healed. It's an accomplished fact. You were healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. But he gave you an example. When people threatened him, he didn't threaten in return. When they reviled him, he didn't revile. He just suffered and committed himself to the Father who judges him righteously. That's the example you should have. Be a servant to others. Move forward. Bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Humble yourself before God. Then you should confess your sins and repent of them. Now, repent is an interesting word. In the Hebrew is a word of action, or language of action, and it means to turn around and walk away from it. In Greek is a word, is a language of the mind, of reason, logic. And the word metanoia in Greek means to change your mind. So to repent means that you decide it's wrong, and then you turn your back on it and walk away from it and do it no more. It is more than whining and crying and slobbering at the altar rail and saying, I'm sorry, God, and getting up and going out and doing the same thing all over again the next day. Now, you see a lot of people. I can get up, I can go into church, and I can preach in a certain way. And I can get people all stirred up, and they'll come up to the altar, and they'll pray, and they'll slobber all over the altar rail, and they'll cry and moan and carry on. And they'll go out, and I can come back to the same church 3 months later, and I can preach the same sermon the same way, and the same folks will get up and come up and do it all over again. And they have had their lives changed. Their lives haven't changed at all. Why? Because there is no spirit of repentance. There is no godly sorrow. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. You know, no prophet of God ever had any message except repent, including Jesus Christ. Jesus was the apostle by our faith. He was the prophet. He was the evangelist. He was a shepherd and teacher. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So godly sorrow produces repentance. Let's look at 1 Timothy now. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance, so that they may come to know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, Romans 2:4 says it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Repentance, true repentance, is a spirit from God. It's given by the goodness of God. I say that's the reason I say to you, if God convicts your conscience, turn and repent quickly. Keep short accounts. You cannot repent of your own free will. Repentance is a spirit from God. It says so right then, Peter. That perhaps God will grant them the spirit of repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance. Worldly sorrow brings death. I had a minister that worked in jail, and I had lots of people that would get saved. The jail boys called it taking a dive. We had some people had true repentance and were truly saved. Lots of them wanted a testimony before the judge so that perhaps the judge would release them. Others thought that if they just repented and got saved, God would surely get them out of jail. And I'd say, God has forgiven you your sin of holding of that armed robbery, of holding up that, boosting that service station and trying to kill those people. God has forgiven you. You're righteous before him. But society may extract a penalty from you. Well, if God's not going to get me out of this, I don't want anything to do with any God like that. Let's go put me in jail. God is not going to put you in jail. These people are taking a dive. What they wanted, a letter saying that he was an exemplary Christian, going to Bible study, and he changed. So maybe the judge might give him probation. Praise your Lord Jesus. They'd never had the spirit. Now, they were sorry. Don't misunderstand me. They were truly sorry, and they cried. They got caught, and they're sorry they got caught. And they cried over it. And they didn't like being in an iron cage, and I don't blame them. But there was no godly sorrow there that leads to true repentance to salvation. And so when God offers you a spirit of repentance, by George, catch it and run with it. Keep short accounts, people. So you need to repent of your sin. No prophet ever had any message outside of repent. What did Jesus say when he started his gospel? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now that word believe is the verb for faith. Faith is a noun. Believe is the verb, and faithful is the adjective. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, To repent means that you change your mind, you decide that it's wrong, you confess it, and you turn away from it. And then you confess your sin to God. And remember, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Now, you have to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness, people. Chris talked about it, and he said if you don't confess and forgive, you see, God didn't forgive your sins. Now, that's a tough saying, and most of the liberal church will argue with you about it until you're blue in the face. But I read my Bible. I once heard Speed Wilson say, Colonel Speed said, he read the Bible like he read his intelligence reports. He read it not for what he thought it ought to say, not for what he wanted to say, not for what he believed it should say, but what does it really say? Read it for what it says. And it's in plain English right here in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. That says the same thing in Mark 25 and Luke 6:38. It says the same thing. Now let's look over at Matthew 18, which is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And I won't go into that. I'm sure all of you know the parable of the unforgiving servant. And so I won't go into that, but I will just look at the bottom part of it. Verse 32. And the master, the Lord, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Now, the old King James says the tormentors. The new King James says the torturers. The New International says put them in God's jailhouse. And the American Standard says torturers. I mean, whatever it is, it's an unpleasant place you don't want to be. And look at this. "And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." And so God showed me that if you've got a deep hurt that keeps coming back to you, you forgive, but it keeps coming back to you, then you need to, number one, break the evil soul ties. And number two, you need to pray for that person. Let's look at Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 5:44. "But I say to you," Matthew 5:44 says, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Now, Luke 6:21-28 says the same thing, if you want a companion scripture. "I say to you, as you labor in prayer for the person who has abused you, who's your enemy, who's abused you, hurt you, spitefully used you, as you labor in prayer for their salvation, ask God to bless them, God will heal you. He will work a change in your heart, and the deep hurt will come out. You'll still know what happened, but somehow it just doesn't hurt. It just doesn't hurt. You know, we want to get rid of the hurt, people. And as you walk under God's covering, under His Spirit, then, it won't ever hurt you again. But now, if you make a covering of your own spirit, you know, weave your own little spider web up there instead of having the wing of God over you. You know, that spider web's got holes in it, and the devil can stick a knife down through it and touch you. Now, what am I talking about? Well, let's look in Isaiah 30. Let's sort of, God will go astray a little bit here. Now, let's digress just a little bit over to Isaiah 30. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel of me, not of me. Take counsel, but not of me. Who devise a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Okay. Now that "who devise a covering, but not of my spirit" literally means to weave a spider's web. You see, you have the wing of God over you. Ain't no holes in God's wing or in the corner of His garment. You eat a spider web, you got a hole in it. The devil can just poke things down through it and torment you. As you decide how are you going to cover it, how are you going to be protected, how are you going to feel better about it, out of your flesh. How many have known people that said if I just made another $50, all my problems would be in? You know, I just got so many problems. If I just made another $50 a week, I'd just, you know, all my problems would disappear. Huh? Have y'all never had that? You know, anybody besides me ever thought that way, huh? Huh? I mean, you know. But you see what you're doing? You're worshiping mammon. You're looking to mammon to solve your problem. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're devising a web, but covering, but not of God. Trying to cover yourself with. It says you go down to Egypt. That's to the world. Ask advice of Pharaoh. That's the devil. And it says that Egypt will be your shame and the devil will be your destruction. Read that. That's very interesting in Isaiah about covering. Well, praise your Lord God. And you have to forgive. And you got to forgive regardless of the fault. If the other person is terribly at fault, it make any difference. You go forgive them. And they say it's still your fault, blame you. You say, I'm sorry, I'm just terribly sorry, please forgive me. You say you go to them, ask them to forgive you, because very seldom is anything all one-sided, you know. Very seldom is anything all one-sided. But there's something, you go to your brother and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, but I want you to forgive me. I'm terribly sorry. I want to make it right. Just ask you to forgive me. Now, and go and move on in God. You've done all you can do. And pray for their salvation. And if you do this, you remove a block. If you hold a hurt, remember this. Chris said this morning that you're all deserving of death, except for the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin and adopted you as his little brothers and his little sisters and made you a member of the family of God and therefore heirs and joint heirs with him to the kingdom of God. That's the only claim you've got. If you're going to stand in your own righteousness, you deserve death. But God forgave you everything. He said, I forgave you all this. Now, you forgive. You forgive. I forgave you a debt that you could not pay. Now, you forgive this little thing over here. I forgave you that $1 billion debt. Now, you forgive this $50 debt that your friend owes. And that's about the comparison it makes in the unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you. Now, there are some sins that are any involvement in the occult, God considers spiritual adultery, and so you have it carries a curse for four generations. And you have to, if you've been involved in the occult, you've gone to the fortune teller, you've gone to the Ouija board, you've looked at the astrology charts, and you said, "Well, I really didn't believe what it said. But I just wanted to see what it was like, so I just, you know, I just wanted to go and see what it was like. I really didn't believe." Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. How do you think, you gentlemen, think your wife would feel if you said to her, "Honey, I was on the way home, you know, and I really did, you know, it really didn't mean anything to me, but I wondered what it was like over that house of ill repute, you know. And I just went over there, you know. It didn't mean anything to me at all, but I just was sort of curious, wanted to know what it was like." You think your wife's going to be pleased with that? She's just going to smile and say, "Oh, it's all right, honey." Huh? That's the way God looks at you being involved in the occult. He says it is spiritual adultery. That's the reason I read you James 4:4, which says adulterers and adulteresses. That's how he feels about involvement in the world, involvement in the occult. Turning to the devil for knowledge. Lots of scriptures that I can read you, but we're going to move on. I will talk about the occult some other time. But I say you have to confess your involvement in the occult. That's the Ouija board. That's sorcery and witchcraft. Sorcery. How many of y'all got a little, you know, I used to have a little metal, like a little piece of silver, about this big around, hung on my keychain, had a picture of a man with a staff, you know, and I kept it on my keychain. It was supposed to protect me when I traveled in my car. And y'all got something like that in your car? Huh? You know, that's that little metal was supposed to protect me. And y'all carry rabbit's foot? Hmm? Got a rabbit's foot, you know, supposed to bring you good luck? You know who luck is? It's the Egyptian god of good fortune, the devil. Mm-hmm. Got one of them little wiggly things, you know, that look like little gold wiggly things that hang on a chain around your neck? Called an Italian horn? Means I depend on the devil for my finances. Got one of those peace symbols, a broken cross? The upside down broken cross, a symbol of the devil. That's a witchcraft symbol. Called a peace symbol now. And on it goes. You need to think about it. Just remember that sorcery is depending on something other than the Lord Jesus. Some potions and aliments. Witchcraft? What's witchcraft? Attempt to control supernatural events and people by compact with devils. That's what the dictionary says it is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Involvement in sexual sin. Let's look. We'll just look at one verse here, and I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I can talk about this for several hours, but I just want to tell you that involvement in the occult and involvement with sexual sin, God considers the same. There's spiritual adultery. God considers sexual intercourse outside of marriage as an act of worship to Satan. I can establish that from Scripture, but it takes a little time. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. You don't see that in Scripture very often where it says, this is the will of God for you, for your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality or fornication, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the heathen who do not know God. That no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is avenger of all such as we forewarn and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. That word fornication there is porneo, and it means sexual immorality. And what does it include? The beer ad out there that's got the young, scantily dressed girl holding the beer, the Coors Light, which insinuates if you buy Coors Light, you'll get one of these to go with it. It'll make you so attractive that you'll just attract all these cute bikini-clad women. Down, all the way down, and it's based on lust, all the way down past Hustler to the X-rated videos. The worst bestiality and the things that just would nauseate you to talk about. That's porneia that you should abstain from. Flee, Paul says. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Run! Don't stay around it. Remember that bad company corrupts good manners. Run! Flee! I've been separated. I've lived a single life for almost 20 years now. And I was teaching a Bible study about 15 or 18 years ago now. I was young in the Lord. And a young lady, you know, I commented I ate all my meals at the hospital. And she said, what you need is a good home-cooked meal. And she invited me to sit down. Well, I arrived, and she met me in the most provocative outfit. I said, ooh. And I looked in on the table, and she had the wine glasses. She had champagne on ice. And she had candlelight. And she had the mood music on. And I tell you, I got this bad coughing spell, you know. I got something caught in my throat, and I began to cough. And she said, give me a glass of water. And she went to get a glass of water, and I ran out the front door and got my cough. I fleed, man. And I called her, you know, and I lied. I told her I had a bad attack of diarrhea. Oh, God, forgive me. But I learned a valuable lesson. After that, I never went to a single woman's house alone. Always took a married couple. Always took somebody from the prayer group and went with me. I had several other encounters like that, but I always had Carol and Tom with me. And Carol was always, Carol had a way of looking at me. And I just thought I was well protected. I never went without a chaperone after that. But you flee. That's called good judgment, you know. Good judgment. Godly instruction. He instructed me then. But you flee fornication. Gentlemen, young gentlemen, I tell you, flee. Old gentlemen, I tell you, flee. Run! Don't be ashamed to run! Because you stay around there, you might do something that you'll regret later. You might, your emotions and your passions and your lusts will begin to roar. And you can't hear the Holy Spirit. And you might fall. That's the reason Paul says run. Now, God says flee. God says don't do it. God says when you do, you become one flesh. And careful reading of Proverbs shows that there's an exchange of soul material. And you get a fine, you get a tie, a soulish tie, an evil soul tie, back to the person before. So you need to confess your sexual sin to God. And there's going to be a time where I'm going to call on you to confess your sexual sin. And I want you all to stare straight ahead and to say it very quietly, under your breath, anything God brings to mind. But you need to get it out of here into the airways. You need to get it in the airways. You need to send it forth out of your mouth. And God will touch you and set you free. He'll touch you and set you free. But you need to confess it, forsake it, and turn for it, and break the curse. It has a curse that lasts four generations. In some cases, in incest and illegitimacy, they last 10 generations. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And we're also going to break ancestral curses. The sin, we ask you to repent of the sins of your ancestors to break the curse. You say, where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to repent of the sins of your ancestors? Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26:40. But if they will confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their unfaithfulness, which they were unfaithful to me and they have walked contrary to me. You can read the rest of it. It's a high priestly prayer there in Leviticus. But it says that you need to confess your sins and the sins of your fathers. All of the intercessors always identified with the sins of the nation. Always the sins of their fathers. Jesus Christ was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from that curse. Some people say, well, I was delivered from that when I got saved. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible also says that by His stripes you're healed. But you've got to claim your healing. He said that Jesus died for the whole world. But you've got to claim salvation. You've got to believe to become a child of God. You've got to believe to have the right to become a child of God. So, you have to claim deliverance from the broken curse. He delivered us from the broken law, from the curse of the law. He also delivered us from curses spoken against us. Isaiah says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall refute and refuse. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And you can refuse to accept any curse spoken against you. You can just say. And he says, well, where in the Bible does it say that a New Testament believer can be cursed? It's in there. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? That word bewitched is a standard Greek word to be smitten with the evil eye, to be cursed. To be smitten with the evil eye means to be cursed. That's the standard Greek word for it. He said, what evil spirit has brought you under the curse of going back under the law? That's New Testament, tongue speaking, Pentecostal, deliverance believing people, New Testament Christians, cursed by false teachers who came in and they accepted a false teaching and they were cursed because of it. They accepted this false teaching, came out and they accepted it. It was a curse. It said that unless you're circumcised, you won't be saved. That's what they said. And they said, okay. And so they accepted that curse. The curse of the law. So you're going to have to obey the whole rabbinical law. And so they started and they began adding to and doing all kind of things to improve their righteousness. But as he said to Colossians, can't stand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I think I'm going to stop here. I could talk for another 2 hours about other conditions, but we're going to stop here. I've just skimmed the last 35 to 40 minutes. I've just skimmed it. I hope I can just
cover some more in detail. There's lots of detail there. But, you know, it says that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. So I want all y'all to stand up now and praise God and jump up and down a little bit and get the blood out of your feet and up to your head again. Come on. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I don't hear anybody praising God. Praise your name. Okay. Praise God. Well, I don't do that. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you. We bless you. We glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to lead y'all in a prayer now, a renunciation prayer. It's a rather long prayer, but we need it covers everything. It says, Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, do I make the following confession? I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity, I do now repent of these sins and ask your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all these doors which I have opened to Satan. And ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. I renounce the occult, witchcraft and magic, seances and clairvoyance, mediums, Ouija boards, and all other occult games. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarts, and other card laying, and pendulum. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching or dowsing. Levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, automatic writing and drawing. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking, positive control salesmanship, and the demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talisman, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit foot, four leaf clovers, wishbone, potions, aluments, and vow destroy any that are in my person or under my control. In the name of Jesus. I vow. I will destroy any idols. to foreign gods,
such as the Buddha,
Mexican sun gods,
signs of the zodiac,
American Indian dolls,
voodoo dolls,
Egyptian anchoras,
pentagrams,
or other abominations,
on my person or under my control.
I renounce all literature I've ever read
on any of these fields.
And I will destroy such books in my possession.
I will also destroy any objects,
pictures, signs, or statues,
jewelry,
charts,
which are on my person or in my house.
That's very important, people. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that you shall not sell the gold and the silver that is on them. And you shall not bring an abomination into your house, lest you become snared like it, become an abomination like it, a cursed thing set for destruction. You become an abomination like it if you keep it in your house. I don't care what it's worth. You can't sell it. You have to destroy it. You can't profit from the gold and silver that's on it. You need to get rid of those things. You need to get rid of them. The scriptural way is to burn them. If you can't burn them, wrap them up and take them out and bury them someplace or put them in the dump. Wrap them up good so nobody can find them and then go to the dump and be buried, but get rid of them. I recently dropped $5,000 worth of stuff in a lake, 65 feet deep. I put it in a little plastic bag, filled it up with sand and rocks, tied it up, got all the air, tied it up, took it out, and dropped it. Let it go. $5,000. Wasn't mine. Somebody gave it to me. Said, can you get rid of it for me? She said, I need to get it out of my hands now before I relent. But I know that I've got to get rid of this stuff. And what was it? A bunch of idols to foreign gods made out of gold and jade and silver. Very valuable. And I got rid of it. I keep my mouth shut about where I dropped it because somebody will go out there with a dowel and try to find it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I break the following. All curses, hexes, spells, jinxes and jexes, and charms paste on me from any occult source. I break the curse of incest, illegitimacy, 10 generations back. On my family line. I break the curse of whoredom and idolatry. Off my family line. I renounce any oaths my ancestors ever made to a false god. Idol. False cult. False religion. I renounce any initiation rite. In any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or order of which is a demonic or witchcraft origin. Now, how do you want to know? I was in a fraternity, and I said, Lord, what's wrong with that? They quote the Bible and all of that. And I said, I'm praying about it. I said, you know, Lord, if it's not of you, I don't want it. I said, but you know, they're good boys, and I liked them, and we had a good time together. And I said, what's wrong with initiation rite? And he said, do you remember when they put the chain on you? And I thought about it. I said, oh, yeah. They took me in this room, and they took all my clothes, set my shorts off, and put this sheet around me. And then they put this old trace chain. Y'all know what a trace chain is? Well, it was a piece of chain we used to use on when we plowed, and they put it around me, and they had it tied together with this string over my shoulders. And he came on down through the initiation rite, and they said, now the blood and the fellowship of the fraternity breaks the chains of bondage. And he cut that little string, and that chain fell off. And God said, who cuts the chains of bondage? I said, Jesus Christ, not the fraternity. False God. A lot of scripture. A lot of scripture, but false God. I renounce the oath. I have cast sorority spirits out of women, fraternity spirits out of men. They control their lives. Now, I don't say you have to go before God and ask Him. I give you my experience and what happened to me. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay.
I break.
All demonic subjugation. Demonic soul ties. And bondages to my mother, father, and grandparents. Spouses or ex-spouses.
Or any other human being.
Living or dead. Who's ever controlled me. In any way. Contrary to the will of God. I break the curses of psychic heredity. I break any curses of physical or mental illness from my family line. I break any curse sent to my family from any demonic origin. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord,
I confess
I have committed sexual sin.
I do repent.
And ask forgiveness.
I confess.
I've committed the following.
Now, here, well, just wait a minute. If God brings anything to your mind, just confess it very quietly under your breath. You need to put it in the airways. But just any type of sin that God, that the Holy Spirit witnesses to you, confess it to God now, in the name of Jesus. And claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do accept your forgiveness and cleansing according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. My Lord and Savior. I notify you. I'm reclaiming all areas that I have previously yielded to you. I now close these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. I bind you and your host. Command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but I resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
And again, here, anyone that you have ought in your heart against who's hurt you, who's abused you, say, I forgive John. I forgive Joe. I forgive. Just say, I forgive them. And name them before God. I don't care how hard it is. Get it out. Get it out. The devil will try to stop you from saying it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch them now. Touch them and bring repentance to them, Lord God. Let the spirit of repentance come down, Lord Jesus. Let the spirit of forgiveness come down, Lord. Pull out through the bitterness, Lord. Set them free from unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I do now. Forgive myself. Forgive yourself, people. Don't always go around beating yourself over the back, over the head, all the time, saying, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that, it's all my fault. That's the devil. He's accusing the brethren. He's accusing you. in the first person. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe that you died on the cross for my sin.
And rose from the dead.
I believe that you were manifested in the flesh.
On this earth.
You redeemed me by your blood.
I belong to you.
I want to live for you.
I confess all my sin.
Known and unknown.
I'm sorry I hurt you.
I renounce them all.
Now
I come to you as my deliverer, Lord Jesus.
Claiming the promise.
In Joel 2:32.
Whosoever
shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
You know my special needs.
The thing that binds.
The thing that defiles.
Torments.
That unclean evil spirit.
I now call upon you,
Lord Jesus,
to set me free.
Satan, I renounce you and all your works.
I loose myself from you.
In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me right now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You
can all have your seat now. You can sit back down. Now we're going to have a mass deliverance service. I'm going to call out spirits. I'm going to bind them and I'm going to call them out. The word for spirit in Greek is pneuma, which means wind, air. In Hebrew, it's nephah, means the same thing. Generally comes out by the breathing passages. It comes out as a cough for yarn. Sometimes to cast out means to give a quick jerk and vomit. And sometimes you might vomit. But I'm going to tell you, if you have to choose between your dignity and your demons, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. I got delivered on the third row right over there, two seats over. I came, and I sat through four mass deliverance services, and I couldn't tell anything had happened. And I went up and complained to the minister. I told him I had come down here at great personal expense and so forth, and I didn't know why I wouldn't get delivered. He was very kind to me, and he said, well, maybe tonight will be your night. And so he came down that night, and he had a little piece of paper about like this, you know. He said, this is the list that God has given me. And he had my list, you understand. And the first one threw me on the floor, you know, and I vomited. And I about got up, and he called the second one out, and it rolled me in the vomit. And the third one, I just sat there and vomited, and I got vomit all over me, you know. And Brother Doug came over and felt so sorry, and he put his hand about this far from me. He didn't get too close to me because I was all covered up with puke and stunk, and I was coughing and retching and rolling that stuff. But you know something? After it was all over, I went in and took a shower, you know, I got my dignity back, and I feel much better.
Yeah.
I got rid of my demons. And I say to you, you got to choose between your dignity and your demons. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. Let what happens happen. Let what happens happen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't suppress it. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. They're more worried about themselves. They ain't got time to worry about you. They want to get rid of their demons. And they're not going to go back to your hometown and spread it. Hey, they're not going to go to your hometown and talk about it. Hallelujah. And I just say to you, just let the demons go and get delivered today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. Keep both feet on the floor now. You remember that a witchcraft symbol used to be that if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth. Remember that?
That's right.
Cross your fingers. Well, the devil believes that too. And got your feet crossed. He don't believe you're telling the truth. He don't believe you. Because you got your feet crossed. Mm-hmm. And the devil is a legalist. And he will do everything to stay there because he wants to stay you. He thinks he's married to you. Those demons think they're married to you. And you see, you're married to another The blood of Jesus Christ has annulled the covenant demon. I notify you right now that the blood of Jesus Christ has annulled the covenant of marriage that you have in the name of Jesus. That this is the bride of Christ. They're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ has set them free from you. In the name of Jesus, I bind all of you, and I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rejection. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends, rejection. I bind rejection. These people have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are redeemed. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. I just bind the spirit of rejection now in the name of Jesus. I bind fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, and fear of not being wanted in the name of Jesus. I bind all fear, fear of the dark, fear of not being loved, fear of not being right, fear of being ridiculed. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. Fear of not being loved, I bind you in the name of Jesus and cause you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Go, all fear. Fear in the name of Jesus. I bind all rebellion. I bind all witchcraft and rebellion. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. I bind the spirits of idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind the spirit of stubbornness, stubborn self-pride, stubborn in the name of Jesus. I just bind the stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all stubborn spirits. I bind all spirits of witchcraft mind control. I bind all spirits of Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I break your authority, witchcraft, and I say, leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go, all witchcraft. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft, go. All domination spirits, all manipulation spirits, all Ahab spirits, all Jezebel spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I break your authority and command you to leave in Jesus' name. Go, go. Go. I break the spirit of lust, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I break the lust of the world in the name of Jesus. I break the loss of lust, the loss of love, the turning to the world for love, the lust in the name of Jesus. I break lust. I break the lust for good things. I bring the lust for money, the lust for sex in the name of Jesus Christ. I break it in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of whoredom over these people in the name of Jesus. Break the spirit of idolatry, and I command it to be gone. Go, idolatry, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, lust. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, lust, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of inferiority, of not being wanted, not being loved, being afraid, not being good enough, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I break your power and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, leave God's people. Go, go, all of you. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. All spirits of inferiority, not being good enough, these are children of God. These are children of the living God. They're joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God. You've got no right to them. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all you demons. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, spirits of inferiority, in the name of Jesus. Go, go, all stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits, in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. I bear all spirits of accusation and self-accusation. It's not my fault, it's your fault. All spirits of shame and guilt, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of unforgiveness, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. Go, all spirits of the occult, go in the name of Jesus. All false gods, go in the name of Jesus. All occult spirits, all Kundalini spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the Ouija board, go, go in the name of Jesus. I bind you all and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. I break the spirit of bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. Pull out the root of bitterness. I bind the spirit of deep hurt. In the name of Jesus. Deep hurt. Go. Come out of there in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.